I experienced many things. I experienced the moment when they attacked me and I was almost killed. I experienced being in custody and being subject to torture. So I thought, what more can they do to harm me or to stop me from doing what I want to do?
I worked in the Ministry of Health for 19 years in the same position. They didn't give me any promotion or step or anything. I asked them why. Am I doing wrong in my work? They said, no, you are very active, but we cannot give it to you because I am Shia.
يختلف لأن والدي أولا هو رمز سياسي، ووالدي أحد الرموز الذين كانوا يدعون للناس للنهوض لليقظة لعدم الوقوف. والدي يعني بلغ من العمر 65 عاما، يعاني من مرض السرطان، تعرض إلى التعذيب. نحن نعتقد أن النظام يريد قتله بشكل بطيء وقلقون جدا على حياته.
I was subject to torture. Basically, a masked man would come and name you. Then you have to go. They begin to blindfolded you and slap you everywhere in the body. Mainly slaps in the face and kicks all over the body. Then we were handcuffed with another person. And then we were pushed all the way, we were kicked all the way, we were insulted. Even in the bus, we have to say some slogans about how much we love the Prime Minister or how much we hate Mushema. Because I wasn't shouting loud enough to him, the guy wasn't convinced enough, so he has to take my hair. He has to take me from here and knock my face to the window. And so I returned back to the cell with clear marks all over my body. I suffered the first moment when after all this pain, there is something that abnormal happened to me, that I slept and then I jumped many times from my bed, thinking that someone is about to approach me to beat me or something. And this lasts for weeks. What they have done basically has encouraged me to do more, because before I didn't experience torture and their purpose. Maybe the first incident happened, but the second one, it was a systematic torture. It was something that I felt that I couldn't, I couldn't, after this experience, just stay silent. Because I think it would be a betrayal to myself and to those others who are still in custody.
Bahrain has been gripped by its worst unrest since the 1990s, after protesters have taken to the streets as members of Bahrain's Shiite majority have rallied against the Sunni royal family.
During the school, I've been always considered as the top one of the top students in the school. And in 2004, I scored 97%, which was one of the highest school in the country. Therefore, I attended the graduation ceremony where I have to shake hands with the Prime Minister, which was a shame, to be honest. It's something that I would never, if I had the opportunity to do it again, I wouldn't do. we knew there is a bad history with this guy. We knew there he is the one which was behind, you know, so many bad things in the country. And therefore, even when I was 18, I was considering whether I should go ahead or not. In 2004, I was offered a scholarship by Minister of Education in Bahrain to study in the UK, specifically engineering course. I managed to score distinctions in all subjects, and therefore I had the opportunity to go for a wide range of universities. I was mainly between Brighton and Leeds University. I decided to study in Brighton because of their good reputation in engineering field. So I had really good experience in the field of electronics. I scored 2-1 in the university, which was a quite good score as well. So I thought I would be considered as someone who was really wanted in the country. I think it was quite shocking that all doors were closed in front of you. I mean, I went for a few interviews. Some of them afterwards, they would tell you, maybe I can tell you did really, I can definitely tell the interview went really, really well. I wouldn't see any reason why I wouldn't be taken. But then if you talk to someone who been through the same similar experience, they would say, yes, maybe your name is the problem. Your family name, once you belong to a Shiite family, it could be a problem. And sadly, it was a fact.
واستقرارها وترميم جراحها والدخول بها في مرحلة جديدة تؤهلها أكثر لمستقبل أفضل. عاشت تونس، عاش شعبها، عاشت الجمهورية.
So one of the happiest moments in my life was the moment that I find out Zain al-Abidin bin Ali has stepped down and he flew to Saudi or somewhere. And that moment, you see, you know, you see the power of people. We all lived fear because of, you know, whoever would talk about politics or about anything, they were behind bars. But once we broke this fear, and then we kind of reach a state where we say, what are we gonna lose more? We've been desperate, we've been subject to torture, we've been subject to all kind of discrimination in all means. So maybe it's the time to make a change. To be honest, it was kind of a dream for every single Bahraini to say whatever in their mind. It was a moment where people had fear before in the past from the regime. So many people went to the prison, get tortured. So people, maybe at one point, they didn't want to see this happening to them. But then when the fear gone due to the killing of one of the first martyr, then you see the real freedom. I was attacked by at least 10 policemen simply because I was trying to protect a woman who was shouting for help. And they just like crushed me in a way, they catched me, and then I was beaten. I felt like it was an attempt on my life. Clearly I bleeded, because when I left, there were injuries all over my body. And basically, they didn't stop until a moment where I pretended I was dead. And that's the only thing which stopped them. And then on the same day, I realized 4 people were killed. Among them, even someone who was 6 years old. What kind of resistance 6 years old would show to them? I think it was a message to tell us, don't come back here again.
When I went to in 2010 to Bahrain, after 1 year or something like 2 years or 1 year and a half, I went back and I gave the security, the immigration security, the passport to sign it. And he asked me, where did you come from? I told him, I came from London. He said, oh, from London. I said, yeah, is there any problem? He said, no, there is no problem. And he asked some men to come. They were searching, they were questioning me, where did you go in London, where do you live, what are you doing in London? I don't know, I'm studying there. What is the kind of study? Why you choose a human right? They searched everything, even strip search. They two ladies come to me and they were very, very, very aggressive. I want to cry, but I can't. I want to, what they call it? It is horrible time or horrible experience that had to me. After they released me, I found that when all the time the security around the house, when I go anywhere, and I found that the police or somebody is behind me, I told my family, what is happening? What? And they said, because what you are doing in Britain. Since then, I didn't go to Britain, to Bahrain, because I afraid that when I go now, because my activity is becoming more. In the beginning, I wasn't going to demonstrate in front of the embassy, but later on I said, why not? Why am I afraid? At least I have to do something for my country now.
It's about democracy, it's about justice, it's about fall of dictators.
When I was in my family, we are a very big family, including me, we are 8 sister, 4 brother, including and my father, my mother. We are very close together. Happy family. We love each other. I love my childhood because I lived it totally happy. Yeah, with my brothers and sisters, my aunties, my uncles, all together. We are, you know, if you are living in a small village, all the family linking together, all close together. After the school, I went to the science college. I wanted to be a nurse. They gave me a studentship here to in Cardiff to study as a dental hygienist. I'm the first dental hygienist in Bahrain. I joined the Ministry of Health to be a dental hygienist, and they hired me with another girl. She's originally from Balochistan. We studied together, we qualified together, And we joined the Minister of Health together, both together. But unfortunately, because of the discrimination, they never gave me any promotion. I worked in the Ministry of Health for 19 years in the same position. They didn't give me any promotion or a step or anything. And I was very active in my work. But my colleague, they gave her to be the boss. They gave her a promotion. I asked them why. Am I doing wrong in my work? They said, no, you are very active, but we cannot give it to you. Basically, I am Shia, that's it. And they told me, because you are Shia.
كنت أسمع دائما كانوا يتحدثون عن الوضع العام, عن الوضع السياسي, عن حقوق المواطنين, عن ماذا يجب علينا أن نفعل, ما هو تعليقهم أمام قمع النظام, لماذا هم يطالبون. بدأت أحاول أن أدرك هذا الجو ولماذا الناس خرجت ولماذا الناس غاضبة وما هي المشكلة. طبعا والد اعتقل 6 شهور ومن ثم أطلق سراحه لمدة 3 شهور ثم اعتقل لمدة 6 سنوات.
انطلاقا من مبادئ ديننا الحنيف واستنادا للمواثيق الدولية لحقوق الإنسان وحق الشعوب في تقرير مصيرها.
أخذت أنا استدعيت إلى مبنى مخابرات أمن الدولة. مخابرات أمن الدولة هو جهاز دائما ما يتولى القضايا الكبيرة التي تعنى بأمن الدولة. وكان ذلك الأمر غريبا جدا. كان عمري في حينها 13 عاما. لهذه اللحظة أنا لا أعرف سبب استدعائي إلى مخابرات أمن الدولة. يعني كانت استدعيت إلى هناك وتم تهديدي والتحقيق معي وتوجيه اتهامات وأنا كنت طفل. يعني أنا كنت لحد تلك اللحظة لا أفهم الكثير. أحد الأمور التي دفعتني للانخراط في هذا الجو السياسي بهذا الحجم وبهذا الشكل هو ما رأيته, هو ما يعني هو التجربة التي مرت علي, هو القمع الذي مورس ضدنا كعائلة مثلا. كانت طريقة التعذيب والتحقيق هو بأن أجبر على الوقوف على مدى 24 ساعة متواصلة, ساعتين أقف مصمد العينين ومقيد اليدين من الخلف, وساعة يجعلوني أرتاح, وهكذا بشكل مستمر. ومن ثم يأخذوني في وقت الظهيرة تحديدا وفي وقت متأخر من الليل, يأخذوني إلى غرفة التحقيق ثم يقومون بتعذيبي وبتعليقي على طريقة الفلقة للإدلاء باعترافات وباتهامات وجهت لي من تاريخ 8/8/98 إلى 22/2/2000. أنا كنت في السجن وكان والدي أيضا في سجن آخر. أتواصل مع الوالد عبر الرسائل. كنت أكتب رسائل على ورق العصير أو على أي ورق معين, يعني أخذه خلسة من أي مكان, ومن ثم أكتب الرسائل ويعني ثم أقوم بتغييرها كي تكون الرسالة جدا صغيرة ثم أهربها إلى العائلة. بعد إطلاق سراحي لم أزدد إلا حماسا في السياسة وفي العمل الشعبي وفي النشاط الثوري وفي الاستمرار على الانتفاضة والثورة. وربما رغم يعني السجن قاسي، السجن غربة، السجن متعب، السجن فيه عداء، فيه ابتعاد عن الأهل، الحرية مقيدة، كل هذه أمور سلبية، لكن أنا شخصيا أعتبر أن السجن كان بمثابة مدرسة، وتعلمت الكثير الكثير من هذا السجن. أولا رأيت هؤلاء السجانين وهذا النظام على حقيقته من داخل السجن، كيف يتصرف وكيف يقيم الإنسان وكيف يتعامل مع الإنسانية. ثم أن هذه الغربة علمتني ضرورة أن يعتاد الإنسان على خشونة العيش لكي يستطيع أن يتأقلم مع كل تجربة ومع كل ظرف. الأمر الآخر كانت فرصة إلى أن الإنسان يراجع حساباته ويفكر بشكل من دون تأثير أي أجواء محيطة أو بيئة محيطة. يفكر الإنسان في الحياة، يفكر الإنسان في حياته الشخصية، يفكر الإنسان في علاقته مع ربه، يفكر الإنسان في علاقته مع مجتمعه، مع أصدقائه، في مستقبله، في شعبه.
وليس رئيس الوزراء فقط، وليس ولي العهد فقط، وليس وزير الديوان فقط، وليس وزير الداخلية فقط، وإنما الديوان، وإنما
في 2004 عقدت ندوة في نادي العروبة، شارك فيها الأستاذ عبد الهادي الخواجة، تحدث فيها صراحة ولأول مرة مباشرة عن رئيس الوزراء خليفة بن سلمان. تم اعتقاله في اليوم الثاني أو في نفس الليلة، ومن ثم نحن بدأنا نمارس النشاط للتضامن مع الأستاذ عبد الهادي الخواجة. كان هذا في عام 2004، بعد ربما أسبوعين من النشاط والمسيرات والمظاهرات والاحتجاجات تم اعتقالنا. كنا 26 ناشطا، تم اعتقالنا وبقينا في السجن. رجعت مرة ثانية هنا لكي أبدأ مشوار الدراسة فقط لمدة سنوات بسيطة، ثم أعود للبحرين وأكون بطاقة وبقدرة أكثر. بعد شهور بسيطة، ربما 3 شهور من مجيئي إلى هنا، جاءت قضية البندر في البحرين، ووضعت صورتي مع نشطاء آخرين في بعض الجرائد البحرينية، واتهمنا بالعمالة وبالخيانة وبهذه التهم الأخرى. في ذلك الوقت كان أيضا أكثر زملائي وأصدقائي في السجن، تم اعتقالهم وتم استهدافهم. فبالتالي بدأت الأوضاع تكون يعني تشكلت الأوضاع بدأت تأخذ منحى الخطورة الأمنية على النشطاء تحديدا. وبما أنه كان لدي أنا شخصيا يعني نشاط واضح وصورتي بارزة، فلم تكن الأوضاع تسمح لي بالعودة.
I was attacked by at least 10 policemen simply because I was trying to protect a woman who was shouting for help, and they just like crushed me in a way, they catched me and then I was beaten.
I asked them why am I doing wrong in my work. They said no, you are very active, and but we cannot give it to you. Basically, I am Shia, that's it. And they told me, because you are Shia.
كانت طريقة التعذيب والتحقيق هو بأن أجبر على الوقوف على مدى 24 ساعة متواصلة، ساعتين أقف مصمد العينين ومقيد اليدين من الخلف، وساعة يجعلوني أرتاح، وهكذا بشكل مستمر.
whoever appeared on a camera will be arrested in the future or targeted. And I was expecting this to happen to me at any point, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't go and face it.
To be honest, the only people which I would blame for all these dirty games are the regime, the government.
Why would the government try to stir up sectarian violence in its own country, though?
Because the force by the army didn't work, didn't divide us. So now they are losing. They are, you know, breathing their last breaths because they are losing everything. They cannot use violence against us by army because this card didn't win. And now they are trying to play the second card, which is not working again. So I think you playing with someone is evil with all means, and they willing to destroy everyone for their survival, basically.
They sentenced me to a year in absentia, and then my lawyer has appealed, where the charges dropped to 6 months. And then maybe 3 weeks later, they invaded my home at 1:30 and arrested me. I thought because I'm already sentenced, the torture thing would just stop. I would only have to go spend my period and that's it. I went to the central prison, Jow. There where I was humiliated even worse than the first time.
تمر بها مملكتنا الغالية. يهمني أن أتوجه إليكم بهذه الكلمة تعبيرا عن مشاعرنا الوطنية التي نحملها جميعا لهذا البلد الذي يضمنا على أرضه وتحت سمائه. في البداية أود أن أتقدم بالتحية والتقدير والعرفان لرجال الأمن الذين أثبتوا قدرتهم على التعامل مع الموقف الأمني الحالي بكل ضبط للنفس ولو كان على حساب تعريض حياتهم وسلامتهم.
Because I was the only political prisoner, so I was so badly treated in all means. I have to stand all the way. I have to face the wall. Time to time, whenever this police guard passed me, he would slap me, he would spit on me, he would do anything. And this was ongoing for almost 2 hours. But when it comes that, when he asked me to, okay, take off your clothes, and then the guy was sexually abusing me, and this was the worst feeling I ever had in my life. I mean, regardless, I went to throw some more physical torture. But this time it was, you know, beyond resistance. It was, you know, you have a feeling that you begin to hate yourself for moments. Why all of this is happening to me? I mean, maybe you deserve something better.
Hundreds of Bahrainis call on the UN to hear their words in what they say is an absence of human rights in the Gulf state. Earlier in the year, thousands of mainly Shiite Bahrainis marched through the streets. They were demanding political change to limit the power of the ruling Sunni Al Khalifa family. Bahrain called in troops from Saudi Arabia, among other states, as it cracked down on protests. There has been no progress in talks between the government and opposition groups on political reform.
I told the king that after all this torture, after all this misery, he couldn't erase the smile from those prisoners, because everyone went through really rough torture because they believed in what they've been doing, so they have the strength to stand up. They have the happiness that he himself and his guards couldn't have this. And we thought, even when we were behind bars, we thought we were free. Basically, after being released from the prison, I thought, then I find out the protest is still ongoing in the country, and in fact it has increased. But what I didn't realize that the violence by the police has increased as well. On my on my first attendance to one of the funeral, somebody, you know, a martyr funeral. After the funeral, we were basically attacked by the police. And at one point, they tried almost to crush me. Literally, it was a meter distance from me being crushed. It was another life attempt. I like it in a way that it's a quite multicultural, that you feel this is, you know, this is where it comes, that maybe being Muslim or being Shia is not something that you have to hide now. I had a job in this country and no one asked me what is your religion. Maybe now, being in England, I can raise the voice of the Bahrainis. I can maybe do something that at least would draw the attention that there are ongoing violations in Bahrain and there must be something has to be done. And maybe this is what I feel. This is my duty, really, to echo and raise the voice of those people.
Damn, damn.
Suddenly, in end of October or November, I found some pain. It was, I don't know how to explain it to you, but I found some pain and I said, what is this happening? Why this pain is coming? It is a strange pain. It is not a woman pain, or especially after the period. It is very horrible pain. I went to my GP to see what is happening, and she told me, are you pregnant? I told her, I don't have a husband. How will be a pregnant? She said, there's a mass. I found a mass. They did the MRI and the CT scan, and during the CT scan, it became very big like that. Only in 2 weeks or something like that, very quick. During the operation, they found that the tumor spreaded very, very quick on the omentum, the appendix, intestine, ovaries, both ovaries, uterus, all over. It's sudden, very quick. And when on the test, they found it is a cancer, stage 3, and that big. And my tummy is becoming big, 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 as I am pregnant in 9 months. After 3 weeks, they started to give me chemotherapy. They gave me, I have to have two kind of chemo, carboplatin and Taxol. And the chemo, carboplatin, it was okay. The other one, it was really horrible. It collapsed me. It is not good for me. They tried it twice, and in the two sessions, I was collapsed in the hospital. But the operation, it was okay. It was succeeded, and even my consultant, he is very happy that it has succeeded because they took it all off. Thank you. I cannot go back, and my family cannot come, at least some of the members, because they are all working. Some of them, they have their own family. They cannot come in here. Also, if I go back to Bahrain, I will be in jail, and it will be very difficult. At the same time, if I go to Bahrain and I have this cancer, I will not have the good treatment. Unfortunately, the Salmania Medical Center, which is the biggest hospital and the main hospital in Bahrain, servicing the public people, occupied by the military. Anyone is going there, they are searching him or searching her, and asking so many questions, which is making the patient more depressed and trying not to go to the hospital.
Did you think you were going to die?
No. Because I have a faith. When I will die, the God will say, "You are dying, I will die." I have a very good faith that it comes from God, and it will go by God. And everybody praying for me, and I believe that if you are praying for me and I pray for you, that the God will hear you more. During my study, one of the courses that I have to do, international arbitration, and I took one of message of Imam Ali. He is dealing with his people or with all the people all the same. There is no someone up and no one down, and everybody is equal. If the politician people now at the present taking lessons from his at least a very little things from his wisdom, there will not be a war. I like London, but I like the Greenway, because here we see all buildings. That's why I like to go for a trip to other areas where to see whole things green, to feel fresh. You have to have, I need to have what they call it, fresh air. Here in London, especially in the central, so much pollution of the from the cars, from the air pollution, but the others outside London, it is really fantastic air. You can smell it. And one kind of humanity, yes, they are supporting me as a student, as a patient, as a human being. They are supporting me, but unfortunately, they are supporting Al Khalifa.
If you could go back and live in Bahrain, would you do that? Do you see Bahrain as your future home, or do you think you'll stay in Britain?
No, I will go back to my home. Yeah. Because home is home. Family is family. Yeah. I told you in the beginning, I came from very close family. My parents, my sisters, and my brother. If Bahrain is very, very safe, I will go. Yeah, and I am hoping that Bahrain will be in good future.
Stop the killing in Bahrain!
Stop the killing in Bahrain!
Stop the torture in Bahrain!
أنا مع صديق عباس العمران. قادمين إلى أحد مؤسسة خيرية في أحد الأزقة، مررنا على 3 أشخاص وبشكل مفاجئ تم ضربنا والهجوم علينا. لم نكن نعرف ما هي الأسباب، من هم هؤلاء، لماذا ضربونا، لم نكن نعرف هذا الموضوع. اتصلنا للشرطة، جاءوا الشرطة في نفس الوقت ومن ثم أنهوا الموضوع. بعد يومين تم الاتصال بي من قبل رقم غير معروف، مجهول، unknown number. قالوا لي: نحن الذين اعتدينا عليك قبل يومين في بالقرب من محطة يوستن، ونقول لك إذا اقتربت مرة أخرى من السفارة البحرينية سنقوم بقتلك. كانت رسالة واضحة من النظام الخليفي في البحرين أنه نشاطكم مرصود ونستطيع أن نضربكم حتى في بريطانيا.
But when you saw the images on the television of the Arab Spring and then the revolution breaking out in Bahrain, what were your emotions? What did you feel like when you saw those images?
يعني هو شعور غريب جدا. يعني ربما كثير من الأوقات يعني يأخذني ربما هذا الجو وهذا الشعور إلى حد أنه أريد البكاء، لأنني أريد أن أشارك الناس وأكون في أوساطهم وأن أخرج معهم في المسيرات وأشاركهم في هذه الثورة وفي غيرها. لكن في نفس الوقت لم أكن بعيدا عن الحدث، وإنما كنت على تواصل وثيق ومتين جدا مع مختلف الشباب المتواجدين في الدوار أثنائها. فكانت عودة الوالد مهمة وضرورية لسبب يعني، وكانت السيناريوهات المتوقعة هو 2: إما أن يتم اعتقال الوالد فبذلك يشتعل الشارع غضبا أكثر وتحفظ الثورة وأهدافها، أو أن لا يعتقل الوالد فتضطر الحكومة للإفراج عن بقية المعتقلين. هكذا تماما الذي حدث.
Your father was arrested and now he's in jail. Tell me, how is your father?
يقول: أنا خادم إلى هذا الشعب، أنا خادم إلى هذا الشعب، سوف أستمر في نضالي ويهمني أن أرضي الله سبحانه وتعالى. لم أرى منه الانكسار ولم أرى منه أي يعني نبرة تدل على التراجع. تعرضنا إلى الملاحقة وإلى الاستهداف كعائلة الأستاذ حسن مشيمع أو كعائلة مشيمع، ربما نزداد إذا استهدفنا وإذا قمعنا وإذا اعتقلنا نزداد قوة، لكن نحن الآن كعائلة قلقون على حياة الوالد لما يعانيه من مرض ولسنه المتقدم، الآن عمره 65 عاما. نعتقد أن هناك عملية تصفية وقتل يقوم بها النظام. ولا ننسى أيضا، نذكر ما كانت تتناوله الصحافة في البحرين عن تحريض بإعدام حسن مشيمع المعارض، أو بترفيع وتعليق الصور في مختلف الشوارع بحبل المشنقة.
The symbol of pro-democracy demonstrations in Bahrain is brought down by government forces. Pearl Square had been the center of weeks-long demonstrations by mainly Shiite protesters against the Sunni minority government, but a ban on protests has brought that to an end. On Friday, mourners gathered for the funeral of an activist killed earlier in the week during the crackdown. But despite the imposed martial law and ban on demonstrations, the mourners were not dispersed.
يعني عندما أولا تدهورت حالة الأستاذ عبد الهادي الخواجة نتيجة الإضراب وسمعنا الأخبار عن طريق زوجته أو عن طريق الصحافة، وكنا لا نريد أن نسمع خبر استشهاده، ومن ثم جاء خبر الوالد أيضا، أنا شخصيا فكرت، قلت أريد أن أعمل شيئا مختلفا عن ما هو معتاد. قررت بداية أن أضرب عن الطعام فقط على الأقل لكي أشعر بشيء من التعب والجوع الذي يشعر به الأستاذ عبد الهادي الخواجة أو غيره من المتعبين. بعد أسبوع قررنا الاعتصام خارج السفارة الأمريكية، وظللنا مكثنا هناك حوالي أسبوع أيضا مضربين عن الطعام، وكان في الجو القارس والبارد لكي نثير اهتمام الإعلام، وأيضا هو عملية ضغط على السفارة الأمريكية وأيضا على النشطاء المتواجدين في لندن أن يجب عليكم أن تقوموا بشيء مختلف. فكرة الإضراب ومن ثم الاعتصام ومن ثم هذا الشعور يعني التعب والإرهاق وفي الجو القارس والسماع الأخبار والتأثر بها هي ما هي السبب الرئيسي الذي وفقنا للذهاب إلى السفارة البحرينية.
With him, I'm with him.
Human rights have been there.
No.
We are here to support my dad.
وفعلا يعني لم نكن نتوقع أن نبقى في سطح السفارة لمدة 24 ساعة. كل هذا كان يعني كان توفيق، كان جزء من حماس، كان جزء من شعور وتفاعل داخلي. وفي غضون ربما ساعتين بدأت كل الصحافات العالمية المعتبرة تتصل بنا ونحن في سطح مبنى السفارة، ومن ثم عقد مؤتمر صحفي في الخارجية عن خارجية البحرينية في البحرين، وتفاعل العالم بشكل كبير. وكانت أحد الخطوات أعتقد المهمة أو التاريخية هنا في لندن.
أنا ما عيش حبس قيلة وانظروا جثت النحيلة، أنا ما عيش عندي صبركم.
سمعت الخبر كما سمعه كنت جالس مع الشباب، وإذا برسالة تصل إلي نصية على هاتفي تقول أنه سحبوا الجنسية. أنا يعني تحديدا بالنسبة إلي شخصيا لا أستغرب أي حدث، يعني الآن أنا محكوم 30 سنة وعلي قضايا أخرى ومهدد، يعني أنا مهدد لا أستطيع أن أزور دول عربية، مقيد حركتي، ملاحق، ربما لو ظفر بي هذا النظام لا أعرف كيف سيتصرف معي، وبالتالي أي عمل أحمق، أي عمل إجرامي يقومون به ضدنا كنشطاء لا نستغرب منه أبدا. نحن لا اعمل واجبك، لا تقبل بالظلم، لا تركع الى الظلم، لا تتوقف على النتيجه. يعني انا لا يهمني ان يسقط النظام بعد سنه او بعد شهر او بعد 10 سنوات او بعد 30 سنة، انا ما يهمني انني لن اتعايش مع النظام، انا لن اقبل بسياسه النظام، انا لن اسكت عن الظلم، انا ساواصل. وأعتقد وأؤمن أن مواصلتي وقوتي وإيماني ستغير هذا الواقع.